Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Matthew 28, 18 to 20. This is called the Great Commission. Disciple the Nation Sunday. The Great Commission. You guys there in your Bibles? Let's see how we're going with bringing Bibles to church since we've transitioned from Beau Morris to Dingley. Did we bring our Bibles with us from BCC or did we leave them there? Who's got their Bible here today? Great. It's awesome having your Bibles with you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It says, this is Jesus speaking, and it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, go and baptize them. Make disciples of all nations. Go and baptize them. Immerse them in water. Fully in water. As they go into that water, they're actually dying to themselves. They're dying to their own wills. They're dying to their own ways of life. And as they come out of that water, they're experiencing a new life in God, in Him. Their spirit man, their spirit woman is coming alive because the Holy Spirit is filling the space He's always been supposed to fill, and there is resurrection power in them. So go baptize them and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And you know what? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Going to all the nations, discipling people, making disciples. But he says, I'm going to be with you always. He says, and behold, I am with you always. Who said these words? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who said these words? Who's Jesus? He is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is Himself, the Creator, Jesus. In Genesis 1, 26, 27, it says, let us make man in our image. Jesus, who is speaking here, He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity, the three in one, three persons in one. They called Him the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He, the person that is speaking in the Great Commission in that verse, God sent Him onto this earth thousands of years ago. He sent Him. He is the Son of God, but He became the Son of Men so that the sons of men, the children of men and women, could become sons of God. This is the God who is speaking. This is Jesus who is speaking to His disciples, our Redeemer, our Savior. He's the one saying these words. But who is He speaking to? He's speaking to those 11 disciples in that point. Yes, He's speaking to us today, but He's speaking to the 11 disciples. He's just about to go and be with the Father. He speaks to them, to the 11 disciples. He speaks to His friends. He had walked with these guys for 3 years. They knew how He rolled. They knew what He was about. They knew who would stop for. They knew He had compassion. They knew He had authority. He's speaking to them. They were His followers. They were His friends. But they were His disciples. That's who He's speaking to. So what did these 11 disciples actually do with what Jesus said? What did they do with it? He tells them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. They actually went. They actually did what He asked them to do. Yes, for a while they had to wait. We're told in the book of Acts that Jesus said, wait until the promise comes, until the gift comes, until I send you my Holy Spirit. So they had to wait. But once They were clothed with power. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to be outpoured, which happened at Pentecost. Once that the Holy Spirit had been outpoured, so it was available to everyone, they started to go. They started to go. They went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and it says to the uttermost parts of the world. They went to the nations. So what did they do with what Jesus asked them to do? They went. And you know what happened at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came? Boom! The church was birthed. It says that 3,000 were added to their number on that day. There'd been 120 of them in the upper room praying and waiting. But once the Spirit came, the church was born. Numbers were added. What does that mean, numbers were added? It means there were more disciples. Because the disciples were making disciples. There was now more disciples. And think about the people that became disciples after the 11 people, after the 120 people, after the 3,000 people. What did those people do? Disciple makers who make disciples that make disciples. What did the disciples do with what Jesus told them to do? They did it and they made disciples. But not only did they make disciples, the people who became disciples made other disciples. And this has been happening for thousands of years. And that is how you and I are here, knowing our God, growing and knowing our God. Because there's people who've been making disciples, but not just making a disciple and that's it. But that disciple actually makes disciples. But not just disciples, but disciples that make other disciples. People, like we're hearing from Amanda, what our heart is to make disciples, to reach the lost. So my question for you today is, are you a disciple? Pneuma South, brother and sister, father, mother, son, daughter. Might be your first time here today. Are you a disciple? What is a disciple? A disciple is an apprentice. A disciple is a student. A disciple is someone who wants to learn from Jesus. We have access to the Word. We have access to the Holy Spirit. This is how we follow Jesus. This is how we walk with Him, by being disciples, following Him day and night. Are you a disciple? Are you following Him, or do you just choose where you follow and where you don't follow? Have you fully given yourself to Him? Because Jesus, from day one, wanted a relationship with you and I. That's why He created every single person for relationship. But sin came into the world. Man fell. And we were separated from God through what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve, they messed up. They did the very thing they were told not to do. And sin separated us from God from that moment. And ever since then, the Lord has been making a way for us to be reconciled to Him. And as we reconcile to Him, we become disciples. For God sent, for God loved. God loved His one and only Son, Jesus, that whomever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Can we close our eyes in this moment? Let's all close our eyes. Ask yourself that question. Am I a disciple? Am I following Him? Have I actually given my life to Him? Is He my Lord? Is He my Savior? The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why am I asking you to close your eyes for privacy in this moment? That if you know that Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, that He is chasing you, that you haven't fully given yourself to Him, maybe you didn't even fully know Him as you walked in, but He's calling you to a life that is surrendered to Him once and for all, where you walk as His follower, as His disciple. If you're here today, and you know, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you have, but you've walked away and you want to recommit your life. You want to make a decision today to say yes to Jesus with every eye closed and every head bowed. Would you raise your hand? Because I want us to pray together in a private moment. But I want to see that hand so that one of our team can talk to you later to just help you connect onto a next step. But if you're here and you know, you would say, I'm not a disciple. I do not know Jesus in this way. I haven't said yes to him. Or I actually need to come back to him. Would you just raise your hand for me right now with every eye closed? Is there anyone in this room who would say, I want to say yes to Jesus in this moment? Is there anyone? Just raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Anyone in this room? Jesus is inviting you to a deeper relationship. Jesus is inviting you into a personal relationship of him being Lord to repent. Is there anyone in this room? Just raise your hand for me and I'll see it. We're all just going to pray now. A prayer of salvation. A prayer of repentance to be disciples. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you for Jesus. That he came. That he lived. That he died. And that he resurrected. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins, for going my own ways. I want to walk with you. Lead me, Lord. Thank you for loving me. I give myself to you forevermore. You are my God. You are my Savior. I love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you're here and you prayed that for the first time or the 20th time and you know you need to talk, because we can make those decisions and not talk to anyone about it and just be in the same place. I want to encourage you, come talk to me afterwards. Go talk to Shelly at the end of the service. Shelly, just raise your hand. Talk to any of our team. This is important. You're like, why are we doing this at this part of the service? It's because it's important. Because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure bride. He's coming back for his people. And the time is now. So are you a disciple? What part will you play? What part will you play? We're disciples. What part will we play? What we're to do with the Great Commission, the part we're to play, is that we're to make Jesus, is that, can we bring that verse up again? Matthew 28. We're to make Jesus's last command, our first priority. This is the last thing he asked of the disciples. We're to make that our first priority. This is what God has been on from the start, for people to be reconciled back to him. So we're to make his last command our first priority. When you think of your life, will people actually look back at your life and my life and say, you made disciples? Being a disciple is one thing, but as a disciple, we're to make disciples. Will they look back and say, she made disciples? Oh, he discipled me. Will they look back and say, or will you? Can you look back and go, man, I made Jesus' last command my first priority? That I took the responsibility. And it can sound hard. It can sound complex. But Jesus goes, I'm with you. I'm with you always. He's not asking us to do this by ourselves. We are all here because someone discipled us. Someone reached out to us. That's how we're here. God used someone. Someone might have not brought you into church or opened the Bible for you, but God would have used someone at some point to sow a seed, to plant a seed, to do something that connected you into that step of becoming a disciple. So the question for you today is, who are you discipling? Who am I discipling? Who are you actually discipling? Just think of one person. What do you mean discipling? That sounds so hard. It's just reaching out. Who are you reaching out to? Who's the one person you're praying for, but you actually reach out to them with the intention to share God's love, to share the gospel, to actually share the core truth. The core truth is that God is holy. He is holy. The core truth is that you and I are sinners. We are sinners. The core truth is that man needs a savior. We need a savior. Everyone out there, everyone in here, we all need a savior. Who are you sharing that with? That's part of discipleship. Who are we sharing with that actually Jesus came? Why did he come? Because God loved. God loved. So Jesus came. Jesus lived. Jesus died. And Jesus is coming back. Who are we sharing that to? Who are we reaching out to? It's about walking with people. Who are you walking with? You don't even have to hit them with the core truth. You don't even have to hit them with the gospel. Just walk with them. And as they see that you are a follower of Jesus, by the fruit of your life, they will ask the questions. And then you get to share. So who are you discipling? What part will we play? What part will we play? Make Jesus' last command your first priority. Disciple makers who make disciples that make disciples. Our part is just to connect them to God. Hey, in the Uber, just connect them to God. Tell them about God. In your workplace, wherever you go, there's always opportunities. Who are you discipling? We're talking about the local stuff, right? What we do in our day to day. But there's actually parts in the world, hey, in Colombia. There's parts in the world, in Brazil. There's parts in the world in Africa, in India, in Iceland. Let's name all the hundreds of nations. How many nations in the world? Last time I heard it was like 191. The next thing I heard, 200 something. How many nations in the world? Anyone share? Don't ask Google. It's all good. But there's hundreds of nations. Don't get distracted. But there's actually places in all the different nations where the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is scarce, where it is rare, where it is dangerous. We're so blessed. We can complain about how Australia is and how the gospel has been lost through this and that and how we're not a Christian nation, but we have access. We have access. There's places where people are having church underground. They're singing songs like this. Like hymns for like 30 minutes, miming. But they're doing it in unison because the gospel is dangerous. But the gospel is getting in. So what part can we play when it comes to the gospel going to the nations? How can we in this room, Numa South, actually make a difference? How can we reach the nations? But what is it about the nations? Where does that even come from? The nations. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Where does that come from? This has been God's heart from the beginning. Back in Genesis, promise to Abraham was about the nations. Promise to Isaac was about the nations. God says to Abraham, just after Abraham almost sacrificed his son because God was asking him to, was testing him. But God says these words to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, 18. He says, and in your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed. He says, in your children shall all nations be blessed. And he says, that's because you've obeyed my voice. He's talking about nations. Nations come up so much in the Bible. Psalm 2 verse 8 says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. God's saying, ask of me. You seek me and I'll give you the nations. Psalm 2, 8, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance, for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. The nations have always been on God's heart. God's plan has always been to reconcile people to himself. But when he was talking to Abraham, he was saying, you're my people. I'm actually going to bless you. What's him blessing us? It's us knowing him. That's the blessing. us having him in our presence, that's a blessing. But it's I'm gonna bless you, make you be a blessing to the nations, that you would take me to the nations so that they would know me. That's the blessing. It's amazing to me how the Jews went through a journey with God. They went through persecution. They went through being, you know, cut away from the Jews and it was spread throughout the world. I reckon there was strategy in there from God in some ways to for the spreading so they can bless the nations. God is in all of it. Because that's what happened after Pentecost. They went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. So God's always been about nations. But how can we as Pneuma South together impact the nations? How can we contribute to the nations from this room? How can we reach the nations? We heard from the video we watched earlier that we can pray, we can give, and we can go. We can pray, we can give, and we can go. Oh, I'm going to dance. We can pray, we can give, and we can go. Let's turn it into a song. Now, don't go yet. See, we're a church that's made up of many churches, right? We have 12 locations as a church. And for the last, as long as our church has been a church of many churches, let's say maybe the last, since 2012, even from before, even when we're one church, we've always been about mission. Even since 1925, we've always been about mission. But over these last few years, we've had global partners. We've got 18 global partners at the moment. You can see them up there all across the world. They're people that, as a church, we partner with. We pray for them. We pray for Pastor Bruce. We had Vicky and Crystal here last year sharing with us. We pray for all these people. And every year, we pledge financially as churches, as locations, on how much we're actually going to give to global, disciple the nations, so that that can be allocated to the different partners. We get to pray for them. These guys have given their lives to God's call on the mission field. They're taking territory for the kingdom in all these different places. But what we've done in the past is that every year we would pledge, we would give, and then that would go towards them. But what we're starting to do as locations is we're actually, as a location, going, who is one of those partners that actually want to focus on as a location? And whatever funds come in, that actually come into the Pneuma South bank account, and we focus on that partner and whoever else. Whereas before, whatever comes in would go to the global office and they'll distribute that as per needed. Whereas now we get to walk closely with one, two, or three partners, get reports back from them, get them in here to share, go on mission trips as a location to actually spend time with them, see what they're doing, equip people, bless people, and we end up being the ones that are blessed when we go. But that's what we're doing different this year as we pray. Lord, how do you want us to partner with them? Whatever we give will actually go to the specific partner that I'm going to talk about in a minute. Nations. Mission trips. Can we just see a few of the mission trips that are coming up? So these are some of the mission trips that are coming up. Bali, India. Oh, Bali. After that, you can have some bit of R&R holiday, whatever you want to call it. I would love to have some Indian food. Kenya, Uganda, Thailand, Japan. Is there another one after that slide? These are all the mission trips that are coming up. They're all in the booklet on your chair. There's information on the mission trips that are coming up over the next 12 months. You can go. You can be praying for people to go. You can actually help people to go and just partner with that. If you want any more information, Elaine's going to be at the Info Hub. She'll take any questions you have. She'll write them down, send them to the team, or she might even answer them. If you're interested in mission trips, there's actually going to be a fundraising barbecue today for two of our Pneuma School of Spirit students who are going to Thailand in October. So there's going to be sausages and bread being sold as part of a fundraiser for Helen and Mel. They're out there cooking right now with some of the team so that we can send them from our own house to go to the nations, to go to Thailand and be with some of our partners. So these are some of the things we can do. We can pray, we can give, we can go. You can do one of those. You can do all of them. You can do two of them. Whatever the Lord is leading you to. But this is on the Lord's heart. Nations. So as I was saying, as a location, we get to focus on one, two, or three. And one of our life groups has had an amazing relationship with one of the partners, Joan Roos, founder of Jacob's Well in India. Joan Roos was a bank manager in Richmond. Someone from the church in Richmond, back then Richmond Temple, Richmond AOG. Our finance person was reaching out to her when she'd go and deposit money or whatever relationship with the bank. Through that, she came to church. Through that, she became a disciple. And now she's making disciples in India by providing clean, drinkable water in the villages. They're not just providing clean, drinkable water by digging bore wells and educating people on hygiene, but they're actually sharing the gospel. They're actually providing living water. Not sparkling water, but living water. Not still water, but living water. So Joan Roos is who we're going to be partnering with. So she's actually, for years, been coming to one of the life groups in this church. And people in the life group have supported her. But one of the things Joan does is she's founded a school as part of Jacob's Well called Rejoice Center, a public school. So some of the guys in the life group have been sponsoring some of the children. Some have been just praying for her. Some have been helping financially. That's just been a group doing that. And she's been one of the partners for Global for a while. But we really sent in the Lord that as Numa South to get beside her, get alongside her even more, and make her the person that we partner with.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at numa.church. Thanks for listening.